Welcome to Seize the GM. I'm your host, Zendad.
I'm your co-host, Jules.
And I'm Null Operations.
Have you ever had a great idea for a campaign? Do you have a bunch of friends who want to play an RPG but have no one to run it?
Do you want to see what the world is like behind the GM screen instead of in front of it? Well, we're here to help you do just that.
Each week, the three of us will be discussing various GMing topics. Terminology, maps, atmosphere, world building, you name it. So sit back and relax, and let us help you improve your art of GMing, one show at a time.
Banter, banter, banter. And we are entering the banter segment.
Welcome back to another episode of Seize the GM.
You lucky people.
I know, right?
Or cursed. Or both.
We'll go with both.
Yeah, it's kind of like a monkey's paw thing. You get what you want, but there's always something, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, Zippy listened to the episode where he was on, and he's just, oh my gosh.
But did he have fun?
Oh, he loved it. He had an absolute blast, enjoyed himself immensely. I mean, I listened to it. It was brilliant.
Yeah. And he came across really well.
No, but he's like, he has this thing of gravitas, and he has it. And he's like, my gravitas wasn't, he's like, I think I failed. I was not gravitas enough or something.
No, he was fine. He was fine.
Oh, yeah, and I did tell a bunch of my friends, I'm like, hey, guys, guess what? The reactions were everything from yay to, interesting. And I'm wondering if they're going to use anything he said back at him at the D&D game that he plays on Wednesday nights before we do Hidden Grid.
Oh, they shouldn't. They should be nice to him.
They are going to be nice to him. They're good. Just going to... No, it's the... They're wondering if he gave away secrets because as a GM or as a player, he's one of the ones you... The people that they play with, they know to kind of keep an eye on him.
Okay.
So it's like, all right, you know, we'll take it.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to?
I went to my first local Shadowrun game.
Ooh.
And we sat around and we talked instead of actually playing. One of the guys couldn't make it, and there were only two of us sitting there. And my character isn't actually in the game yet. So we were like, well, we can just hang out for the time that we would have been gaming and talk about other games or whatever. And so we just sat around and basically shot the shit about the fact that in Knoxville there is nothing to play group-wise unless you play Pathfinder or D&D.
Mm.
So it's one of the curses.
Yeah, as it is.
Yeah.
And
that's one of the issues with this area is there is very little unless you play those two or you're running your own game at home. And I don't have a problem with doing that, but a lot of people are used to playing in stores instead of at homes.
Yes.
So it's a little different feel. And it's taking me a little getting used to, but we sat around and talked about the different, you know, a bunch of different game systems and all the fun that can be had with all of them. And we were like, well, if this guy can't make it next week, maybe what we'll do is we will do something that's just like kind of episodic and just throw together at the last minute, which is kind of what happened with our regular weekly game. Was the guy who's running it ended up with, he had a migraine. So,
no.
Ugh. Yeah, so, I mean, I can't blame him for, like, last minute kind of going, you know, I thought I could work through it. I couldn't. I'm sorry, I have to cancel. So we all got together, and we decided that we were going to make something that was super episodic and a ton of fun. And so we did, and it ended up being really, really cool because we started playing around with DC Adventures.
Nice. I don't know the one very well, but...
It is a... It's a D20 derivative that is super, super fun. And it's all simple, like, sort of Mutants and Masterminds from Green Ronin is the base for it. And then they kind of, like, tweaked it a little more to make it more DC. So it's a lot of fun, and with having the two other, like, superhero and villain books that they've got, which has tons of characters already pre-statted from the game world. So I can literally just be like, okay, you guys are going to fight this dude this week, and here's some henchmen, and here's a place where you're going to do it. Huh? Yeah, it's like something that I can just throw together. We play for 3 or 4 hours or whatever, and we still get to play, but we're not totally
You don't stuck. Stop the story.
Yeah. And we're not trying to jump between multiple stories. I can just literally do, like, this one thing is happening this time. And I may end up, because it's me, I'll probably create a overarching storyline.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's kind of happening. Yeah, it's kind of like the cartoons where there was an overarching storyline, but it didn't really matter. You could still come in and watch an episode or two and still enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to be able to do.
Yeah. You know, like, actually considering what you're doing, remember the old WB's Batman, the animated series?
Yeah.
They were kind of like overarching things in some of them, but you always just drop in anytime. It still worked.
Yeah. Yep. And that's kind of what I'm going to do with it and make it fun for everybody so there's no real issues. And what that one of the really nice things that DC did was they did, instead of quick start, they did like little, like, they call them encounters, but they give you two characters and it lets you play with a different aspect of the game system.
Nice.
So like there's one that is, it's just a straight up brawl. It's Superboy versus some, like, some other character, and you know, the two of them are just super strong and can run around, you know, and if Superman or Superboy decides he's just gonna fly and ping her with his laser eyes, well, she can grab a hostage and hold him. So I mean, there's ways around things.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the beauty of it.
Nice.
And it'll teach ranged combat as well as close quarter combat. So it's kind of neat. And you can do one-on-ones, or I can just have the two players doing that and I referee it.
Oh, that works.
So that's where it's kind of
works well.
Kind of really cool is that I can just literally play a referee type for this so that everybody kind of learns the systems that are inherent in DC. And Green Ronin makes all of those available for free on their site.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. The problem is that the books are out of print now. And there's no reprints. You can't even buy PDFs of them anymore. I believe it has something to do with the license agreement. And they had a license agreement that lasted for so many years after they finished the last book. but you can find them on secondhand markets. And so that's actually my shout out at the end of the for the end of the show. Nice. Is DC Adventure. So there's a link to where you can buy it, like right now. So
nice.
Yeah. Well, you know, with all this talk of overarching storylines and hills and valleys, we're gonna jump.
You're shoveling that in, aren't you?
Hell yeah. We're gonna jump right into our main topic, which is landscape and terrain, and do you use it in your game, or do you not use it in your game? And some of the different types that you can do. So, in games that you play in or run, Jules, do you actually use it?
Terrain?
Yeah, terrain, landscapes, things like that.
PhysRaps usually no. And it's not due to the fact that I don't like them. It's I play very rough with everything and I break it.
Oh.
All right, so I use it, but a lot of it I can't. Just due to some, they're fragile, my hand spasms, I just crush something.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of my friends, my friend Mark, who I absolutely love, is a very big sweetie. He actually gets, well, he'll go and he'll be like, okay, certain parts of like the like packaging, like UPS packaging and like some of the bubble wrap stuff like that, or this and that and the other, you know, he'll take it and there'll be like, there's these like little square, like foam things. Little white foam things, very nice. And he's, you know, and he's just like, oh, okay. You know, takes out a blue magic marker, colors it blue, and puts a little thingy on it. It's like, okay, that's a mailbox. He does another one, like a fire hydrant. So he does, like, terrain and bits, you know, like trees and stuff. He'll kind of either get, like, sometimes kids' toys or, you know, if you're doing, like, he actually used a cereal box and he made it to look like this big gorge thing, and he drew on it and made it, and he kind of angled it up and cut it so it looked weird, you know, looked really great. You know, me, if I'm doing that, some of the things that I have actually have in the map itself have terrain bits built in, you know, so, you know, gardens, trees, stuff like that. It's kind of like a top down view. I like it.
Yeah.
You know, so I can do, so it's there, and I mean, it stinks I can't move it, but it's something. But if I'm using, bring up my friend Mark and his brother, and I steal this technique, is dominoes. So, you know, I have different colors. So white ones, and you get a hand of white dominoes, and you kind of shake them up, and you drop them randomly. And okay. depending on the number of pips, you know, so I'll range this a little, fit like the grid or whatever a little bit better, but you know, if it's no pips, okay, they're just little pebbles. If it's three, it's much bigger. Green ones are trees. You know, I had red ones for like fire pits, you know, and just the number of the pips on those was, okay, how high are the gushers from it?
Okay.
Because I'd love to use it, but I break stuff. So I have to use, if I'm also using Terrana, I can get the ones that you print up, which yeah. I love because, well, you don't, like, you're not spending hours painting it and arranging it, and then somebody spills a Coke. You know, and then all that work's gone. But if it's paper, printer.
Yeah.
But remember that the Kickstarter from last time?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I did support it. So I'm getting everything.
You're getting
I'm getting everything. I'm getting, but the other reason I'm getting is because they're also coming in their own cases.
Yes, they are.
I also don't have a good way to organize. I don't have one already, but these come with it. So I'm like, okay, I can take that and then maybe grow and adapt, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
How about you, dude? What do you use?
Well, I'm crazy and psychotic.
We're aware of that, but
I build landscape from everything, from things that I find around the house. So like packaging from like, you know, something that you get from Amazon. Well, I'll take like the bits and I'll cut it up and I'll build things out of it.
Uh-huh.
I actually go to the craft stores and find weird and odd things that I can then use to make everything from like brazier fires using like LED tea light candles that I just paint. Just really simple things to where I've actually got printed three-dimensional landscape.
You're kidding.
No, like I do all of it. You will, if you come to my table, it is a three-dimensional masterpiece. If I have all the stuff and I have the time to build it all. That's usually the biggest problem for me is I know what I want to make. And it's really time consuming to make. So like I will build. I've hills. I've got what's called scatter terrain. So like I've got pieces of polystyrene that I've cut or taken, like, you know, the solar system ball displays that you can get at like the craft store. Well, you take those and then you just crush them with your hand to make them look irregular and then slam them down on the table a bunch of times and you have a perfectly weird shaped rock that's flat on the bottom. And then I'll paint it.
You're a monster.
I build trees. Also, if you ever go to like a place that sells like model train stuff, all of the tree sets are like perfect size to just, you can just buy them, pull them out of the package and start using them. Go to Walmart around Christmas time. You know all those Christmas villages? They have all pine trees that are already done. They've even got snow on them. Some don't. You buy them up. They sell strips of what looks like cobblestone. So you can
actually,
just like,
and for fun, actually, you know, now I'm thinking about it. They actually have, I've seen them. They're like teeny weeny little light things. You know, yes. like lights, and they have like teeny battery packs. So,
yep.
If you're doing like a cave crawl, if you're doing like a cave crawl or something like that, or if there's like a big festival kind of a thing.
Well, we built. It was a pivot point for the rest of an adventure. So it was kind of like a culmination area, and it was a polluted and corrupted pond. And so I mixed up the clear glass, like the stuff that looked like water.
That styrene, almost like lucite.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to show me how to do that one of these days, dude, because I have some ideas.
Oh, that's super easy to do. But then you take like a couple of like little bits of paint and you mix all that in too, so it turns really murky and gross looking. And then what I did was I took those colored lights and I ran a line so it came out of the water and then drilled a hole through the top of the polystyrene and then mounted it underneath it all. So I had a light switch. I could turn it on and turn it off. And then I let it settle into the pool and then let it all harden. And I could turn it on and off for this huge like pond piece. So there was like, it was glowing and it would like flicker. And different parts would come on and off and on and off. It was so cool. So yeah, needless to say, I'm psychotic when it comes to things like this.
Yeah, you gotta just show me how to use that plastic stuff because going back to, you know, our Fizz Rep episode, but you know, I could have some uses for that. But even with something like that, if I made a couple of things. Like, because the lucite stuff, I'd actually be more, less terrified to use.
Yeah.
Well, because that stuff, I mean, it's wonderful protectant. It doesn't matter, you know, if somebody spit takes.
There's another option that's quickly becoming the new hotness for landscape and terrain, and that is 3D printing. Because you can build all of it, or you could set it up to 3D print, and then you just have to kind of clean it up, paint it, and it's done.
Clean? Wait, what do you mean clean? I mean like buff it out?
Yeah, like to clean off some of the lines back and forth as it's printing. And yeah, there's a lot of times, like right now, there are, I want to say it's Thingiverse, which is from MakerBot. Their site has every D&D mini that was done. The entire catalog is for free on there, and you can download all of the files and print the minis yourself.
That's, well, we're thinking about getting a 3D printer, so.
Yeah, and you can also do landscape and rain pieces the same sort of way. And another thing, if you are really creative and you're good at three-dimensional visualization, you can actually go buy for pretty cheap. I know I saw one at Walmart because we were like, maybe we should get this for our daughter. And I'm like, no, she won't use it yet. And my wife goes, would you use it? I'm like, I have way too many things that I'd use for. She's mm-hmm. like, well, we'll pick it up. I'm like, let's not, because we're getting ready to move. So I'm being responsible and not buying something else. And my wife's like, okay, fine. So instead, I'm waiting. And once we get all settled and everything, I might buy one. Because you can buy them at Walmart in the like toy section. It's a 3D printer pen for like $25.
Oh, yeah. ThinkGeek used to have those too.
Yeah. But when ThinkGeek started carrying them, they were like $100. They've come down in price now where they've got them for kids in the toy department for $25 at your local Walmart.
Nice.
So I'm like, I could use that to build some cool like frameworks to then use like paper towel or something to lay over it, let it dry, paint it. Oh, look, I've got this massive hill. And I just needed a framework that I could do with the pen. So things like that, like scattered terrain is the big thing that people usually use. They make rocks, they make little, you know, like I know on some of the stuff, like I've actually done like campsites with like, I've got little fires with rotisseries on it with like, yeah, I mean, I'm, like I said, mildly crazy. And somebody was like, well, why didn't you just make one that actually like turned on its own? I'm like, because I'm not that crazy. I mean, I'm crazy, but not that crazy. And if you're mildly creative, you can really start building a lot of your own stuff with what most people would consider junk. Like, I went to work and I told them, every time you use something that has that, you know, that chipboard that's like on the back of notepads and stuff, it's like a heavy cardboardy kind of
paper. Yeah.
Well, take that and you can start cutting that up and layering it and just using hot glue to make pieces from that. And then you just paint it.
Yeah. Well, hey, either that or if you don't want to use hot glue, a better thing to do if you're doing like a bottom-up layer kind of thing is paint both sides with rubber cement. Wait mm-hmm. for it to dry, stick them together. And the nice thing about that is you run your finger along the edge, you can pull the extra rubber cement off.
Yeah.
So less than, you don't have to worry about the like glue spots when you paint.
Oh, no, with chipboard, you don't usually run into that problem.
Well, it's you. I mean, you're much better at it. But if you've got like a klutz like me, it'd work a little bit better.
Well, you can do either, honestly. Practicing with those tools is pretty fun to get good at it.
Yeah, and also the that, you know, like the back of a writing pad and stuff, that cardboard. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, and I love my cousin. She told me this is a brilliant idea. You know, you go like to the kids' part of Walmart and you get stickers, different types of stickers. And you can get like, you know, you can get ones of trees and also get like the weird, wacky shapes. Also, if you want to do like a magical effect in the area, you know, like adding like, okay, you got a pool and there's these really weird wisps and cutting those out and you can use those as stands.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's so simple, but what a great idea. Yeah. Or, you know, like you have pictures of like a campfire. You can, you know, like you've seen the one where you cut like the top and you cut the bottom and you can flip them together.
Yeah.
You know, so you'll get like, say it has like four campfire stickers in the exact same. So you like one on each side and cut it right through. I'm like, oh, that was, and I'm like, why didn't I think about that? You know, a lot of the arts and crafts you did when you were in like kindergarten and first grade, think back. And now think about how you could use them to make different types of terrain. Or, I mean, with you, you've got a lot more artistic ability. You'd actually be able to do, you know, not just raises, you know, like, okay, you're doing it and it looks like you're going up like a side canyon or something like that.
But what
you could do is you could do something that gives at least the optical illusion, I'm kind of using bunny rabbit ears, of going down. Oh. I have that perspective at issue. I can't quite do it very well.
Yeah.
But when you do the right kind of terrain bits and, you know, the right kind of like underlays and overlays, you can actually do that optical illusion.
You do like what I do and you want to have a cliff face that's you're on the top of looking down, you actually build the bottom. Like, I've built that.
Yeah, but you have experience and talent for this. Then you got somebody like me, it's just like, I got glue in my hair again.
You know, it's a lot of it is just practice. And actually, there are tons and tons of YouTube tutorials on making like dirt cheap landscape. The one that the show I linked to that I shouted out last week, the DM Scotty, that show, or maybe it was the one before. I don't remember. Oh no, we haven't talked about that one yet. that one will come out in June. But that guy, there's tons. He actually inspired me to start doing some of these because it was super simple things. And it's like a series. It's like, here's the basics, go to town. And basically I built an entire dungeon out of popsicle sticks and chipboard and just like the double corrugated cardboard, just with that. And I had little doors that you Dang. Could move, and it was all painted. It looked like little cobblestone. I mean, it wasn't good. It was really bad. But it was a test. It was to see if I could do it. And didn't use it very much because I was making just like a, what would be considered like a broad set instead of what I needed. So I've come to realize that what I need to do is I need to build what I'm going to run. And then when I've got everything, I'll have a set that does what I need it to, not just what I'm hoping to be able to do. So that's the goal, is to be able to do that. And in the next like year or so, I'm looking at getting a 3D printer so that I can play around with doing a lot more stuff. So one of these days I'll end up actually buying the one that's like, it does, the print area is like 12 by 12 by 24.
Oh my. Oh.
Yeah. What if you want to do cliffs and stuff? It's like the perfect thing to be able to do, like a 2 foot cliff. I mean, a foot by a, you know, because you're only going to do it pretty narrow, but if you needed a cliff face, you can have it. I mean, it would take a while to print, but whatever.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about all these really neat ideas of, you know, it's like I got the ideas in my head, but I could not execute on any of the ideas that I have. Oh, ooh, I actually just thought about something. You know, all right, when you buy a board game, okay, and it has like expansion sets and this and that and the other, you know, and you get like, all right, say you buy Against Humanity, and then you buy the bigger blacker box, so yeah. Your original card thing. It's like you could actually use that as a base for something. Like, say if you wanted to do, I don't know what the heck you call those. Like, all right, say you wanted to do like a formation like Devil's Tower, you'd actually already have a pretty start, and you could actually like build little things around it and stick it to something like that.
Yeah.
Ah.
Another one is, I don't know if you remember this game, but do you remember when Hasbro did a game called, I think it was Hasbro, it was either Milton Bradley, Hasbro, one of those companies did HeroScape.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was all hexes, but it was stackable terrain.
Oh, wow.
So you could do exactly what you're talking about. With that board game was designed to do it. And it even came with like miniatures and stuff. So, I mean, there are ways you can also build stuff with, if you just go buy a game that's old now. I mean, it's super easy to find. If you go to like Walmart or something, I'm sure you can find like a base set and a couple of expansions, and you've got a ton of terrain there. And you may even have some cool minis to go with it that you didn't have to pay, you know, that you didn't have to pay anything extra for. And they're all pre-painted. You don't have to do anything with them.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a way to do things and find out if you can get it and just build stuff. That's the beauty of this. That's what we want to do, is just build like crazy.
Mm-hmm. You know, and here's the thing. It's you know, here's the also thing. Like, if you've got kids, you know, this is a great little arts and crafts project. You know, it's like, we all hated doing those dramas and stuff, but, you know.
Oh, man, you can make some amazing dioramas that your kids will take to school and just be like, look what we made.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, but, you know, it's, you know, rather than just, oh, this is so stupid, but if you're doing kids, like, oh, yeah, you're doing the diorama, and then, like, you're sitting together and you're building, like, this old-timey, like, oh, God, like the Midwest, and you build an arroyo, and you build, like the, like, tumbleweeds and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
for a game that you're running for your kids. Like, a lot of parents, we know, run games for the kids.
Yeah.
So this could be a whole, you know, big family thing. Is just like, oh, we build it up, and then you could use it again and again, and, you know.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of fun.
One of the things, whenever I'm working on painting landscapes or building stuff or whatever, my daughter is like right there. She wants to paint with me while I'm painting. So it's like I just get a big thing, scroll out some butcher paper, tape it down on the thing. She's got her area. I've got mine. And she just paints and fills the butcher paper up. And I'm sitting there painting minis or building something. And yeah, it is a great way to have some time with your family at the same time, if they're into these sorts of things. But with kids, it's pretty easy to get them
mm-hmm.
enough into it.
Yeah, but the thing is, it also shows that it's not just a kid's thing, too. You know, yeah. As they get older and, you know, it's like, but, well, mom and dad sit and they do that and they build up all the stuff and, you know, they play games, so... You know, I have no real good ability to do it, but I'll sit, you know, with our minion way back in the day. That's what, you know, he'd actually be building stuff, and I'm like, all right, why don't you try this thing, you know?
Yeah.
And he was young, but he had, I mean, I want to say like middle school, and he had just started like dabbling in DMing. So, yeah. You know, teaching his friends, and, you know, for that, it was more also, you know, while he's thinking is like, you know, also, you know, if you're trying to come up with ideas, you know, see what you can build to, like, for terrain and might inspire you to something else.
You know, that's exactly what I was.
There's an interesting inspiration loop. There's an inspiration loop that you can kind of, you don't realize you've gotten into until all of a sudden you finished up and you've got, like, you know, you got like Hangman's Hill and all these other things, and you're like, oh, I've got a really great idea.
Yep.
You know, for doing on something you weren't even thinking about originally, like, you know. If you're doing like a pulp thing, and you know, and all of a sudden it's just like, ah, this is a Wild West thing. So it's like, ah, you can keep these things and file it away for something to do in the future.
Yeah.
You don't have to build for the game you're running now.
Right.
Sometimes see if you can build something to see if you can.
Yeah.
And see what kind of ideas as you're building it you come up with. And one of my favorite things is like if everything falls apart and everything looks like crap and you've completely given up, it's just like, you want to know what you got there? You got Kaiju.
Ruins. Rawr. The ruins of something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like post either that or, you know, Kaiju fight so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You know, because there's games out there where you play as the big monsters.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
Yep. So, well, like we always say, we've really just kind of started to scratch the surface. One thing I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to find some links to some of the paper craft that's out there that you can just print off. You just use a razor blade and glue, and you just cut them, score them, glue everything together, and it like just builds itself. And I've got a couple of different sites that have those, and I'll try to see if I can find HeroScape for people to if they're interested in anything like that. And maybe some of the YouTube channels and stuff, because there's just so many resources out there for doing this sort of thing. So, but I think we are going to slide nicely into our stat blocks. And now we enter Stat Blocks. This is a segment where you can use something that we've created in your game tonight. Okay, and we are back to Stat Blocks. I'll go first this time. You get to go first next time.
I hate you.
I know. I know. All right.
No, so. I don't. You're a buddy, but yeah. If I go first, then it's just like your stuff just totally kicks my stuff's butt. And if I go second, I'm like, I have to follow that.
Well, it's not a competition. We're here to have fun and just to throw ideas out there. So
I know.
My idea for this one is the tome. It's a book of magic, but like very few others. The tome is magic. Real magic. The kind that can rip reality and remake portions of it. Unlike any other book, for this one, you are the page of the tome. The tome tethers its magic to the life force of the person that inscribes the spells to their flesh. At first, the spells might do small things. Things that don't seem like much. But as time goes, the spells grow in power and scope. As you cast these spells, parts of you grow weak, some die. If you were to want to cast every spell you scribed on you, then you're probably not going to live to see the last spell completed, since you never know the amount of energy needed to cast the spell. The number left on you is not really an indicator of how much more you can do. So be careful of taking on the power of the tome.
Ooh. Very nice.
All right.
Very nice. All right. I stole the name for this. Okay. It's a location. I actually stole it from a Phil Harris song. And it's called the Darktown Poker Club.
Okay.
The Darktown Poker Club, where hucksters, con mans, grifters, and the damned go to play cards. This mysterious club has been rumored to exist since the mid-1800s. And for those that have been invited, the decor hasn't changed much. The inside is smoky. There's an old honky-tonk style piano in the corner. Booze is poured from strange unlabeled bottles. And the patrons here are as likely to kill you as they are to invite you to join their table. Legends say that the Darktown Poker Club never really left the 1800s. It just has the power to invite players that would make the games interesting. And honestly, interesting people exist across all of space and time. So where's the fun in limiting the game to just one decade? The club is exclusive, invite only. How one receives an invitation is unknown. And to be honest, some members wish that they had never received one. The invitation is more like a polite request, the kind you would get from a mafia don or the CIA. It's one you really don't refuse. So at a predetermined time and location, a set of saloon doors manifest, and the invitee is subtly ushered through. A tall gentleman in a black hat and duster greets you and gives you the rules of the club. Don't cheat the house. Don't welch on your marker. No bloodshed inside the club. Keep your trap shut as to the goings-on inside the club. Your word is your bond, so choose your words wisely. Break any of these rules, and you will be kicked out of the club. Intentionally break these rules and you'll get a bounty on your head. And the Darktown Poker Club has never failed to collect. Welcome to the game.
Nice. I like it.
We're coming up and playing in a Deadlands game in the near future. And my character concept, you know, one, I love the sound Darktown Poker Club. Go listen to it. It's funny. It's clever. But, you know, I'm like, all right, well, ooh, if someone actually was able to get out of the club, I'd actually like to play a bounty hunter for him.
Oh, yeah.
I have a concept as a bounty hunter for the Darktown Poker Club.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yep. So, depending on what hand I draw, depends if I can pull this off, but it should be kind of at least interesting. So,
yeah. Oh, that's great.
And it's not super dark as some of my other stuff is, but it's sinister, I think.
Yeah, it's just enough.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
You know,
nice.
It's something fun, something like, ooh, kind of mysterious. And it's just that, you know, it's like after you get it's like, oh gosh, what did I get myself into?
Yeah.
Aha. All right. Yeah. All right, my friend.
All right.
Make us smarter. Make us speak good.
Well, okay. So let's roll that intro.
Lexicon, where we give you cool words to help improve your vocabulary.
And for our word this week, it's a pretty simple word. It is stagnate. The verb. Do you know what that one is?
Oh, I do. Well, it could happen in a more physical sense. It could be in a mental sense. It could be to stagnate. If you want to think of it, think the accountant that does the same thing over and over as his brain slowly almost calcifies and rots.
Yep. To become or remain stagnant, unchanging. So, the origin and etymology, it pretty much comes from Latin, stagnatus, which is the past participle. Yeah, so you have phrase type thing there, of stagnare, which is from stagnum, which is a body of standing water. So, because that's usually what it relates to, is standing water becomes stagnant. Anything that isn't constantly moving. So, and first use was 1661. So, fairly simple word there, folks. But hope you all enjoy it. Yeah. Okay, Jules. So, we had an iTunes review. And I totally forgot to do this. But we're going to go ahead and throw it in right here. Right before we do our closing remarks. And it is a 5-star review by X Army Geek. And it's titled Gaming for Hardcore Gamers and GMs. Just found this yesterday and I've been binging on it ever since. A ton of fun to listen to and a great way to get introduced to the world of GMing. Don't know what GMing is? Give this a listen and learn.
Which I think they like us.
He does. I actually got to talk with him on Facebook Messenger because he's in our group, which we have a Facebook group for those people that want to go join our Facebook group. And you too can chit-chat with us. So, and you can find that at facebook.com/groups/SeizeTheGMPodcast. So, yeah. It is Charles from the Facebook group.
Cool.
Yeah, so he was like, I totally need to write a review. And I said, yes, you do. So, yeah, anybody else that is listening on iTunes, please go ahead and give us, rate and review us, because that lets us, you know that we're doing something that you enjoy. And we will read it out here on the show, and hopefully not at the end like we're doing this time. Sorry, Charles. But you got to mention. All right. So, closing remarks. I already told you mine was going to be. So.
All right. All right. Okay. I like mucking around on YouTube. Today I actually was mucking around and I found out that there's a YouTube channel called First We Feast, and they have a series on there called Hot Ones. And what it is they have celebrities come in and they have this line of different types of hot sauce, and they keep going up on the Scoville scale. So they have, you know, the host and the guests, and they go up one by one and they eat hot wings, and then they ask a question, and then another hotter wing, and then the host asks the guest another question. And today's episode, they had Neil deGrasse Tyson, which was awesome. And it gets even better because he went all the way up to the top. Like, and he actually put like the hottest sauce that they used, and he actually ate it. And oh my God, he put like 2 bites of this one. I'm like, oh my, it's hilarious. And that episode, I absolutely love it. It is beautiful. And just, it's Neil deGrasse Tyson, who is like the superhero of science. You know, he's the people's theoretical physicist.
Yeah.
So, you know, give it a listen, because they had Ricky Gervais on it, and they've got all these, they got some YouTubers, they got Ian Hill from H3H3. So,
nice.
You know, yeah. And okay, you can also look at the different types of hot sauce they use. I'm like, oh, that one looked good, because they had this one with ghost pepper and blueberries.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I get to find different types of hot sauce and actually be entertained by some of them go, this is too hot.
Yeah, there are people that can't do that. But, you know. Oh, and In case anybody forgot, my shout out is for DC Adventures by Green Ronin Press. So, and I guess we're going to go ahead and call this one wrapped up, folks. We will see you all next week.
Bye.
You can contact us or the show by using Twitter, Facebook, or regular old email. Our Twitter accounts are @Zended,
@JulesPodcaster,
and @NullOperations.
And the show's Twitter account is at Seize the GM.
And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/SeizeTheGM.
You can email questions or comments to the show at admin@SeizeTheGM.com.
You can email me at zendead@SeizeTheGM.com.
Me at jules@SeizeTheGM.com.
And me at nulloperations@SeizeTheGM.com.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Seize the GM. Feel free to leave a comment about this episode on our webpage, www.seizethegm.com. Let the dice fall where they may, and we'll see you again next week.
Seize the GM is released under the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-Alike 4.0 International License. All copyrighted materials referenced herein are held by the respective owners. No infringement is intended, and no claim of ownership is implied.
The music for the show is Dreaming Spirit, off of the album Ghost Machine, by The Enigma TNG. His music is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0, Unported License.